No.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, in Jesus' name. Verse 12, chapter 3 of Judges. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And because they did this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel. Getting the Ammonites and the Amalekites to join him, Eglon came and attacked Israel, and they took possession of the city of Palms. The Israelites were subject to Eglon, king of Moab, for 18 years. Again, the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer, Ehud, a left-handed man, the son of Jera the Benjamite. The Israelites sent him with tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Ehud made a double-edged sword about a foot and a half long, which he strapped to his right thigh under his clothing. He presented the tribute to the Eglon, king of Moab, who was a very fat man. Now, I want you to notice something here. It tells us Ehud made a double-edged sword about a foot and a half long. If we're looking for spiritual meaning, this is the place to start. What do you think this sword is? Represents this double-edged sword that is a foot and a half long. What would you say it was? The Word of God. Amen. Now notice, Ehud had made a double-edged sword about a foot and a half long, which he strapped to his right thigh under his clothing. Now notice that how it had said earlier that in verse 15, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord, he gave them a deliverer, Ehud, a left-handed man. A left-handed man. And so he strapped this sword on the inside of his clothes on his right thigh. Now notice, if you're going to go get past some guards and you want to sneak a sword in, well, everybody, most people are right-handed, so the sword would be strapped on what thigh? If everybody's right-handed, what side would the sword be strapped on? What do y'all think? The left side. If you're right-handed, so you reach across and draw it, right? But Ehud was a left-handed man. So he strapped it to his right side, under his clothes. Now I want you to see that this is a picture of Jesus. Now, when we look at the Word of God being on the inside, let's take a look at what right hand and left mean in the Spirit. The right hand is where Jesus sits. Right hand is a picture of the physical. It's what can be seen. Left hand is what cannot be seen, the Spirit. At the Father's throne, it is the Son who sits at the right and the Holy Spirit who sits at the left. Everybody agree with that? The Son sits at the right hand and the Holy Spirit sits at the left. Can everybody see that? So it is with the law and the prophets. When James and John's mother asked Jesus if her sons could sit in his kingdom to his right and to his left, he said, no, those are promised of his Father to others. Those were promised of his Father to others. They couldn't have those places. What two others would sit there? Moses and Elijah. They would sit to the right and left of Jesus. Elijah for the prophets, be on the left hand, Moses on the right. And so they appeared in this way. They appeared in this way at the Mount of Transfiguration, one to the right and one to the left of Jesus. I think this has a lot to do with why James and John were taken up on the mount. But when we look at this, the left hand is a picture of the Spirit, what can't be seen. And the right hand is a picture of what can be seen. Jesus is what can be seen of God. Jesus is what can be seen of God, sitting at the right hand. the law versus the prophets, what can be seen and what cannot be seen, the physical and the spiritual, the right and the left. How many of you are with me so far? So saying that Ehud is a left-handed man, this is a picture of Christ, and let me tell you why. Most people had the revelation in the Old Testament. The prophets had the revelation on the outside of them. The anointing was on the outside. It wasn't inside of them. Right? Now, how do we get the anointing to come inside of us? How did we get the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come inside of us? It was only through Jesus' death and resurrection, right? Jesus was the man from heaven. He was born of God. The Spirit dwelt on the inside of Jesus. And so we see this Word of God hidden in flesh. Don't we? In Ehud, we see the Word of God hidden under the clothing. What are we clothed with? We're clothed with flesh. We see the Word of God hidden under the clothing. The left hand, that which is spiritual, the anointing is under the clothing. The Word of God is in flesh. You get it? Now Ehud, he presented a tribute that was sent from Israel to the king of Moab, who was a very fat man. Moab is a great picture here of the flesh man. He is the king. He's very fat. He sits on his throne. He's the ruler. When we were in our unsaved selves, right? When we were in our unsaved, it is the fat man that sat on the throne, the flesh man. His God is his belly. He sat on the throne and ruled over our flesh, didn't he? Now Ehud, when he had presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab, who was a very fat man, and after Ehud had presented the tribute, he sent on their way the men who had carried it at the idols near Gilgal. He himself turned back and said, "I have a secret message for you, O king. I have a secret message for you, O king." Now, let me ask you, spiritually, isn't that message the gospel? Now, we're offered a tribute. We're offered a gift. Isn't that what a tribute is? We're offered a gift by God, aren't we? Weren't all of us offered this gift, and we saw it? The promise of this gift is what? This free gift of eternal life. It's a free gift given to us. But when we first received that gift, do we know it's going to bring about our death? How many of you can see that? When we first hear the good news of the gospel that we can live forever with Jesus, when we receive this gift, do we know that it's going to cost us our life? Have we really reconciled that it's going to cost us this life? That we must die with Christ in order to receive that gift? The gospel is this message. I have a secret message for you, O King. Ehud is a picture of Jesus, and he brings it. He turned back. He said, "I have a secret message for you, King." And this king said, "Quiet," and all of his attendants left him. Have you ever been preaching to the gospel to somebody, and all of a sudden all the spirits that were in this person's life left them, all their attendants left them, so that they could focus on what you were saying by the power of God? Have you ever been in that position? Quiet. And all his attendants left him. He focused his attention on Ehud. Ehud then approached him while he was sitting alone in the upper room of the summer palace. Isn't the upper room our heart, where we live, in our own palaces, as kings of our lives, as that fat fleshly man? And when Jesus comes to us, "I have a message from God for you," which is the gospel. And as the king rose from his seat, Ehud reached with his left hand. He did it by the power of the Spirit. He drew the sword from his right thigh and he plunged it into the king's belly. Even the handle sank in after the blade which came out of his back. Ehud did not pull the sword out. When Jesus puts the word of God in our heart, that sword, that two-edged sword, he ain't pulling it out. And it says that he didn't pull the sword out and the fat closed in over it. It's in there. Ehud went out to the porch and he shut the doors to the upper room behind him and he locked them. Isn't that what Jesus does for us when we get saved, when the word is planted? Doesn't he lock out, if we receive Jesus, if we receive that message from God, doesn't he lock out the influence of the devil to come back and take? And these attendants were locked out. And Ehud went out to the porch and he shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. And after he had gone, the servants came and found the doors of the upper room locked. And they said, well, he must be relieving himself in the inner room of the house in his spirit. They waited to the point of embarrassment when he did not open the doors of the room, and they took a key and unlocked them. And there they saw their Lord fallen to the floor dead. And when Jesus puts that word in us, doesn't it slay the old man? Isn't the old man slain? The king no more rules. We have deliverance now. While they waited, while those servants were waiting, Ehud got away, and he passed by the idols and escaped to Syrah. And there he arrived. He blew a trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went down with him from the hills, him leading them. Follow me, he ordered, for the Lord has given Moab, your enemy, into your hands. And this is so much a picture of Jesus' coming. You know, where Ehud turned away with the guys who had brought the gift. And then he sent them on his way, and then he turned back. It's a picture of Jesus returning. And this is Jesus returning in triumph at that last trump. And the Israelites went down with him to the hills that were leading him. He said, follow me, for the Lord has given Moab, your enemy, into your hands. He's already slain that flesh man. So they followed him down, taking possession of the fords of the Jordan that led to Moab, that they allowed no one to cross over. At that time, they struck down about 10,000 Moabites. Cut the head and the body dies. Cut off the head. And the body dies. Struck down about 10,000 Moabites, all vigorous and strong. Not a man escaped. That day Moab was made subject to Israel. And isn't that the day that our flesh, the day Jesus returns at the blowing of that trumpet, that our flesh is made subject to Israel? That day Moab was made subject to Israel, and the land had peace for 80 years. That peace is the joining back to what is right and in order. Bam! Paul says, bam! Can you see it? Can you see this picture? Especially about the sword being inside his clothes. Just like the word of God was hidden in flesh. And, you know, when God brings us that good news, that message from God, we're all anxious to hear it. But we don't know what's going to kill us. We don't know that we have to die in order to receive that tribute, in order to receive what God gives us, His promise of eternal life. But we find out, don't we? Death to the old man and life to the new through Jesus Christ. And that king is dead with the word of God sucked up in him, inside him. He no longer sits on that throne. Praise God. What do y'all think? Questions, comments?